Read your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Be a little longer extended introduction than we normally have, but that'll be the first passage that we read too. Glad you're here. I have a lot of visitors with us, and so glad you've come to be with us, and hope you can work us back into your trot line the next time that you're in the area. One announcement for downstairs before we begin. We had work day yesterday, and one change that happened downstairs. One of our bathrooms is not as nice as the other one's been refurbished and updated. The other is still in that process. So what's happened downstairs is the male and female restrooms have changed. So remember that as you go down. We want the guys, you just deal with it. We want to take care of our ladies, and we're giving them the better one. So teachers, just remember as you send your, if any of the young ones do need to go, just remind them that those bathrooms have been changed, and the ladies now have the better one and the updated one down there. Several years ago, you still see them every now and then, not as often, but maybe 10 years ago or so, whenever the fad happened, there was an athletic slogan that was kind of on a lot of t-shirts, and it just said "No fear" in big letters, "No fear." And then in the back, it would usually give, depending on the sport, it would give this scenario. If it were basketball, it would say, 1 second left, you're shooting 2 free throws, you're down by 1, no fear. And then there would be one for baseball and all the other sports. Easy to say, not always easy to do. Fear kind of controls us in a lot of ways, and we have to overcome it. We can buy some shirt and walk around with it, but that really doesn't change the things that happens within us internally. You remember all the Auburn fans that are here, just the basketball fans, several weeks ago when Auburn was playing in that semifinal game, and that guy with 0.6 seconds left, he's shooting 3. And that was just 2 weeks ago. I remember clearly watching it, and I remember thinking to myself, he's fixed to hit all 3 of them. Because he walked up cool as a cucumber. He looked like he was just picking daisies. And sure enough, as we all know, he did hit them all. He was the first person interviewed when the game was over. And they asked him about it. And he said, I don't want to lie. I was scared to death. But you couldn't tell it. He looked calm. But yet what he was saying was, I might have looked it, but I was scared. And we all experience some form of it. But what I want us to look at today is, what are those forms coming from? What exactly is it that leads us to so much experience of these fearful thoughts? Because a lot of it, it's coming from things that are maybe from the wrong sources. Is it economic issues that just ties you in a knot? Is it economic fears that consume us? How often do we hear, Social Security? Yeah, I'm going to end up, especially the younger generation, I'm going to end up paying into it, but I'm never going to, it's going to bankrupt itself. It's going to disappear. I'm paying in. I'll never get to draw. The stock market, it's crashed before. And it's been on a pretty nice little roll. Something bad about to happen. Oh, there's going to be another recession. And there's whatever the economic people are talking about when they talk about a bubble. I don't know what those bubbles are, but you've heard of them. And you probably don't know what they are either. But they scare people when people in the know start talking about another bubble about to pop. Inflation, national debt, cost of living, all the things that keep going up, do they give us fear? Because the psalmist said, I've been young, I'm now old, but God takes care of his people. I'm paraphrasing. You can read it for yourself. God takes care of his people. I've seen a lot of things in my years. I've never seen God's people hurting like this, begging for bread. Do we let this irrational fear scare us to the point we can't hardly function? Maybe it's not economic thing. Maybe it's persecution or military threats or all the things happening in a worldly nature. The rise in antagonism of foreign oppressors, so outside stuff. The rising rate of immorality on the inside. And so we almost whisper names like Al-Qaeda and Taliban, and we talk in secretive, fearful thoughts of nuclear buildups here and nuclear buildups there. And we let this fear just consume us, and God said, don't fear the ones that can kill the body. Fear the ones who can kill the soul and body. And then punish that soul into eternity. Matthew 10:28. You can read it. We look back into the epistles and we see about the persecution that the apostles went through and the first century saints went through, and we applaud them and we love them and we appreciate them, while at the very same time very, very thankful that we don't have to go through that. But should that day come, we can endure it just as they did. The same faith and the same Savior, we can endure just as they did. And so where is our fear? Maybe it's not these things. Maybe it's health issues. The cancers, the heart diseases, the Alzheimer's, the ALS, the arthritis, the blood, the liver, the kidney, all those things. My grace is sufficient for you. When Paul had his thorn in the flesh, whatever that was, and it was something he was praying diligently about, my grace is sufficient. We memorized that. It's a memory verse. The idea is, it's enough. It's enough for you. Whatever our lot becomes, and we're not blind to the fact that some are going through that lot right now. God says we can handle it. So do we let these fears control us? And then just an et cetera. Look in Acts chapter 10. Whatever it is. Maybe these are not them. Maybe it's not the economics or the persecution or the health, or maybe it's just some other generic fill in the blank. But in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, Peter opened up his mouth. You remember the context. He's speaking to Cornelius, is in the Gentile household. We know the setting, but we're just looking at the principle. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. In every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him. Whatever you're going through, whatever we're going through, whatever future tense, whatever we will go through, we can please him. In every nation, those that do the will of God, those that fear him and works righteousness is acceptable. If that's where our fear is, we can endure all of these others. And so everybody takes a deep breath. Well, great. Okay, I'm glad I don't have to fear anything. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what we want to do, we just want to talk about proper fear. Because if fear of outside sources, persecution, or a fear of economic collapses, or fear of all these physical things that can happen to us, if that consumes us to the point that our service becomes nothing, negligible at best, then we've let things consume us that is not proper. But there is a proper fear that every one of us ought to have, that we are expected to have. And the truth is, we're just not going to be what we ought to be without it. So let's take some time, and we've hurriedly gone through some of these verses. I just had them up there to save us some time. But let's slow down just a minute, and now we will start turning. But as we talk about proper fear, one last part of the introduction, a proper fear starts with the fear of God. We understand that. That's what Acts chapter 10 just told us. In whatever nation, whatever situation, it's no respecter of persons. It does not matter the who or the where. But if we fear God, we can please him. That's where it starts. And there's a lot of verses that talk to that. We're not going to take the time to dig into that. But it covers the whole gamut. Deuteronomy 13, which would be part of the Pentateuch, a part of the Torah, it talks about the fear of God. Psalms and Ecclesiastes, the wisdom literature, talks about a proper fear of God. Luke in chapter 1, the gospel, talks about a fear of God. Romans 11, 1 Peter 2. Now we're into the epistles. The fear of God. It doesn't matter where you open this book up. It doesn't matter the law, patriarchal law, Mosaic law, the law we live. It does not matter. Across the board, fear of God is recognized. Fear of God is acknowledged. And that's where it starts. But in practical sense, What are some things, specific things? You know, the fear of God is a generic big topic. But what are some things me and you might need to just be quickly reminded of that we need to have a proper fear? And the first one is the consequences of sin. Look in Romans 6. We are going to now turn to some of these verses. I know they are memory work. I know you know them all. That's okay. Let's just let our eyes look at them again. We are reminding ourselves of some things that better have our attention. And the consequences of sin is something that's gotten watered down a lot in our culture. And the reason the consequences of sin has gotten watered down is because sin has gotten watered down. It's not adultery anymore. It's consenting adults. It's not fornication anymore. It's sowing wild oats. It's not homosexuality anymore. It's a lifestyle choice, etc., etc. When sin is watered down, the consequences of sin is watered down. And we better remember what it is. We better remember what the consequences are. And when we do, if we have any kind of spiritual thought process, we will fear those consequences. Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. And that's the spiritual death that's being referred to there. We know what wages are. Whether you're too young to have a full-time job or not, you still know what a job is. And you understand the concept of you go and you do this amount of work for this amount of time, this amount of hours, this amount of year, whatever. And then you get something. What do you get? You get your wages. Now, we tend to call it a paycheck, but it's wages. You did this. 8 hours, 5 days. This is what you did. This is what you earned. These are the wages of your pay. The wages of your work. The wages of sin. Do we realize that while we're committing sin, we're earning something? We are working toward something. There are wages to that. There is something that we get at the end of it, and it's spiritual death. So hang on to that. We've got a little bit more review to do. Turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. We sing songs about the fruit of the Spirit and so on. Well, here's the contrast to that. There's the fruit of the Spirit and there's the works of the flesh. Well, let's look at the end of that. We're not picking up in the whole thing because it's not the works that we're looking at specifically. We're looking at consequences. So in the middle of that long list in verse 21, look at the last phrase. I've told you this before. I've told you in the past that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is one of the most beautiful days we've seen in a long, long time. It's been cold lately. It's been rainy for what seems like 3 or 4 days straight. And now here this beautiful day, and you are here. We're not soaking up the sun. We're not out there enjoying the rise in the temperature. Why are you here? Because spiritual things mean something to us. The part of us that's made in God's image that's eternal, it means something to us. Those of us that are here are aware that there is an eternal rest in place of the soul. And it means something to us. Well, here's the contrast. The consequences of sin, the wages of sin, is we do not get to be there with Him. It can inherit that realm. It's an impossibility. That's a consequence. And it ought to affect us. Turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Another long list of sins. A long list of what Paul told the Galatians were like works of the flesh. But as we've done this review, the wages of sin is spiritual death. The wages of sin is of a spiritual death is you're not going to be a part of that heavenly realm. And then verse 8 of Revelation 21. The fearful. Are we talking about fear today? The fearful. That's not talking about a proper fear. This is talking about sinful fears.
Some of that et cetera that we looked at earlier. When earthly things under the sun consume us. And fear becomes a point. Maybe we're afraid to speak of spiritual things. Maybe we're afraid to live and behave properly because we don't want to be embarrassed around our friends, whatever it may be. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, they will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, the second death. We're going to talk more about hell in passion in just a moment. But just as a jump start for today's lesson, there are some proper fears. And if me and you lose our fear of the consequences of sin, the truth is we're not going to fight temptation very well. When we lose a fear of the separation of what sin does to us and God, we're not going to worry about it all that much. So let's restore this. Let's renew it. Let's remind ourselves. Whatever phrase we want to use, let's just make sure we refresh ourselves with what scary consequences there are if sin is not dealt with in our life. We just put it off and we wait and we just let it go and it becomes secondhand to us. It becomes part of our life. There are scary, fearful things of that. And we need to be reminded of it. What about the failure to obey? Look in Romans chapter 1. If there are consequences to sin and that were the end of it, what a horrible thing that would be. But there is an answer for our sin. God provided a way of escape from those consequences. I don't have to suffer the second death. I can inherit the kingdom of God. I do not have to taste of that second death with the fire and the brimstone that we read of in Revelation 21. That does not have to be my end, and it does not have to be your end. So, what's that answer? God gave us a plan. That plan culminated through the death and the burial, the resurrection of His Son. And then He gave us a way we come into contact with that very death and burial and resurrection. He gave us a way to be forgiven of the sins. And by being forgiven of those sins, we don't have to taste the consequences of it. So look in Romans 1:16. There is a way of escape. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. Well, that leads to question then. Here's something we have lost our fear of. What if we don't believe? What if we don't obey? There is a gospel message. It is a powerful gospel message. I'm not ashamed of the power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation. But what if we neglect to hear? What if we neglect to believe? What if we neglect to obey? It's the only place salvation is found. But what if we disregard it? Well, that ought to be it. That's a fearful thing if we give proper consideration. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 1. And some of these thoughts begin to kind of build up. Would they begin to kind of interlap together? Because this is going to sound similar a little bit to what Revelation just told us. 2 Thessalonians 1. Begin verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. To you who are troubled, let's just pause there and let's change the word for just a minute. To those that are fearful of economic persecution, which is what many of the first century that is being referred to there, all the other things, the big et cetera. To you who are troubled, rest with us. Paraphrase that. There are some improper fears that's eating you. There are some improper fears that is consuming you. Rest with us. when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just pause right there before we finish the reading. Just pause right there and think of this as the contrast to Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16 is a memory verse. As a matter of fact, when I first became a Christian, that was the first memory verse that my Bible class teacher had me learn. That was the first one I was ever held accountable for. We've learned Romans 1:16. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power to salvation. Well, here is the contrast to that. In flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the consequences. Who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. From the presence of the Lord. To paraphrase that, that's what we would call separation. To be banned from His presence. You can't be with me. You know, that's basically what death is. One way we could define death. Death is a separation. In the physical sense, it's the point when body and soul separate. The body left here to be embalmed. The body left here to be whatever, and dust to dust. While the spirit then goes to that Hadean world. Physical death, the separation of soul and body. Spiritual death. It's not an exaggeration to say that spiritual death would be a separation of that spiritual part of us from the presence of God. He in one place and our soul, our spirit in another. You can't be with me. Destroyed from the presence of the Lord, removed, separated from the glory of His power. Does that give us any fright? We can get tied in a knot over economic things we don't have a lick of control over. We get tied in a knot over some country thousands of miles away that we have no control over. And we lose sleep. And we spend hours and hours staring at the TV. And we can't do a thing about any of it. It just eats us up and consumes our thoughts. And now here's a part of us made in the image of God that we have every bit of control over. We're the only one that does have control over it. And we get immune. We sleepwalk our way through life. We just get wrapped up in it. And what's happened is we may have lost our fear. Because for spiritually minded people, the consequences of sin is serious. To spiritually minded people, the consequences of failing to obey the gospel of Christ, that's a serious thing. Because when that separation happens, there is a judgment. And if we're not prepared, make sure we understand, that's the only time this should be a fearful thing. To the faithful who die in the Lord, who stand before Jesus as their judge, but He's their older brother. He is their paschal lamb. He is their King. Oh, what a joyful day that's going to be. But if we're not prepared, make no mistake about it, that is going to be a fearful thing. We won't turn to Hebrews 9. That is a memory verse. It is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. It takes that very same thought. As a matter of fact, some of the very same phrases are used. But it sure does make it personal. It sure does drive it home. Hebrews 9, kind of the generic version. We're going to die. We're going to stand in judgment. 2 Corinthians 5 kind of throws some meat on that bone. And it tells us what's going to be based on. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. Actually, let's back up into verse 9. Therefore, we labor. We are still on the side of the grave. What's our role? We're servants. We're priests. We are laborers in a vineyard, and we are to be working. Verse 9, therefore we labor, that whether present or absent, newer translations say, we make it our aim. In other words, it's not an accident. We make it our goal. Okay, what's the goal? What is it that we're working toward that's not going to accidentally happen? Therefore we labor, we make it our aim, that we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So that's what the Hebrew writer told us. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now here's the meat on the bone. That everyone, that's me and that's you, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to what they have done, good or bad. We're going to be judged. And the standard of that judgment is, how have we lived according to the parameters of my gospel? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation. But what if we refuse to obey it? Well, if we refuse to obey it, there are consequences to that. We're going to stand in judgment unprepared. And all of those actions, all of those things that are unaccounted for, that's unforgiven, we stand before Him. And then, as the Hebrew writer said, now judgment comes. If we're prepared, let this proper fear of the consequences of sin, let a proper fear of an unprepared judgment, let that continue to do what it does. Don't lose that. Because then, hell. That's what Revelation 21 was talking about. So we're not going to go back and read that. But hell is a real place. There's this idea, even among religious people, that hell is just this, we've watched so much Star Wars, that it's just become this mystical force. No, it's a place. It is just as much a created place as heaven, because the same one created both. To believe in heaven and to not believe in hell is ridiculous. Because the same one who created one created the other. The same one, how do me and you know about heaven? It's because our Lord told us about it. And He's the same one that told us about Gehenna. And it is described in such a way that it should repulse us. It was done intentionally with language that would get our attention. The darkness and the fire and the torment and the terrible company and the weeping and the gnashing and the moaning and don't forget the separation. Separation from God, 2 Thessalonians 1. You can't be with me. It's described in a way to get our attention. But life is pretty sweet down here. We're going to talk about that in our next hour. Life is pretty sweet down here. And a lot of times the stuff get in the way and we forget this. As a matter of fact, we just can go back. We forget it all. We forget about the consequences of sin because in the moment, it's all about me. We forget about the failure to obey. We forget about that future judgment because that might as well be a million years out as far as we're concerned. Because even the best of us sometimes live our life in the moment. And if the moment brings me pleasure, then I jump in. Some of the best of us, the best we know, have been guilty of that. What this is to do is just to remind us. Will we show proper fear while there's still time to do something about it? Have we lost our fear of the consequences of sin? Because me and you can do something about it. Have we lost our fear about ignoring the law, ignoring the parameters, ignoring what God expects of us as workers in the vineyard? We can do something about it. Have we lost our fear of a unprepared judgment? Because once we stand before Him, it's too late. Have we lost our fear of hell and the eternal destruction that it brings? Because we can do something about it. Get your songbooks out. The question is not then, can we do something about it? We can. Because that gospel that is powerful, that we're not ashamed of, leads to salvation. The question is not, can we do something about this lack of fear? The question is, will we? We can do that right now. If we're about to break into Bible classes, if your very study, if your very concentration, if our conscience has woke us up to the fact, I'm not ready for that judgment. And the consequences of sin, I do have some wages of those sins, and I don't want to have to pay them. Thanks be to God, we don't have to. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Take advantage of that. He was our sacrifice. And if we'll meet Him in the grave, that grave of baptism, we rise up just as He rose up. Take advantage of it while we stand and sing.